This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm Lindsay Weber. Our podcast, Who Weekly, is everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. Think of us as your cheat code to People Magazine, your glossary for Hollywood, a shortcut to understanding pop culture at large.
For the past 8 years, Who Weekly has been telling listeners everything they need to know about the celebrities they don't.
Who Weekly airs twice weekly with brand new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Listen and follow Who Weekly, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on The Fan.
Welcome back to Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori, coming to you from Augusta National on the eve of Masters Week. And joining me now is a player making his Masters debut, the winner of the 2024 Bermuda Championship, two-time Olympian, representing Puerto Rico, Rafael Campos. Rafael, welcome to Talking Golf.
Thank you so much, Ann. Thanks for having me today on the show.
It was so great to meet you in person at the Players Championship. And I tell you, your story is one of the best feel-good stories of the year in golf, I do believe. You won your first PGA Tour title last fall, earning a spot into the Masters. So let's start with that first PGA Tour title. What did that title mean to you?
Oh, it meant the world to me, honestly. All the hard work. I've been a professional golfer for 15, 16 years now almost. And ironically, I've only had two major wins in my big wins in my life, which was a 2019 Abaco Classic on the Korn Ferry Tour. And that took me 9 years to get. And 5 years later, that's when my biggest win in my life so far has came through. So, yeah, it's unbelievable, to tell you the truth. And to this day, I still can't believe it. You know, I still can't believe things happened the way they did, especially when in a year that I was playing very poorly and things really were just not going my way. And I was very close to not having a job. And all of a sudden I'm here talking to you close to one day away from being in Augusta and starting practices.
I mean, talk about life-changing. That first place prize was, what, over $1.2 million?
It was. Yeah, you don't really think about, like, when you're in the grind of professional golf, you don't really think about, you do think about money, but, you know, when you have that type of week where all your focus is on, like, normally it's on winning and you don't do it for the money. Then obviously when the bank account hit, you're like, whoa, we can pay some debts out, you know, debts out. And you know, this obviously isn't a very expensive sport. And a lot of people think this is glamorous and all those things. It might be glamorous to the top 10 guys in the world, but to the regular golfer, the regular PGA Tour player, it's not all flowers and rainbows. You know, this is, like I said, I've been a professional golfer for 15, 16 years, and probably 10 of those have been negative years, you know. So that was a good, great bonus to have and start paying off a lot of things that we owed.
And then I read where your wife gave birth the Monday of that week, and you slept in an airport and just barely made it to your tee time.
True. That was honestly the highlight of the week. it's a lifelong dream to become a father, and it took us quite some years to be able to have a baby. And so my beautiful baby daughter was born on Monday, and I hopped on a plane on Wednesday night, and yeah, stayed at, we had a layover in Boston, and I had a layover in Boston. I stayed at the airport at the gate, probably like 3 hours, 4 hours before the connection, and landed in Bermuda at 10:30 in the morning. Tea time was at 12:40. PGA Tour at least knew, so they were very kind to give me the later tea time on that Thursday to see if I could make it. And it was a dream come true that week. Like, my mind was all on the baby and my wife and making sure that they were healthy. I completely forgot that I was playing a golf tournament. And ironically, you end up holding a trophy at the end of the week. That's the best.
You just kind of let your natural abilities take over and you don't think too much. And that's when you win, right?
That is true. I mean, it truly is a mental game once you're at this level. And that week was, I've been trying to get back to that mental state. It's hard. I think I need more babies though. But yeah.
I love that. Well, you are making your Masters debut this week, your first major championship start. What does playing in the Masters mean to you?
Oh, you have no idea, to tell you the truth. I've been, like I said, professional golfer for 15 years. I've been trying to play any major championships for 15 years. I've never been able to. And the lifelong dream of mine was to start competing in major championships. And after I won in Bermuda, I completely forgot that the benefits of winning. The benefits meaning, okay, you get a great amount of cash, but then you get job security for a couple of years. And at the same time, you get to play in these bigger tournaments. So somebody asked me, like, hey, how do you feel playing the Masters now? And it completely came back to me. I'm like, wait. You know, not only did I become a father on Monday, I won my first tournament on 6 days later. Now all of a sudden, all my other dreams, bucket list, you know, things are slowly checking out. And I can't believe tomorrow I get to play my first. And I can't believe my first major will be Augusta. You know, that's the coolest thing, I think, out of them all. I honestly can't believe it. I can't wait to be there tomorrow and start walking the grounds with the patrons. And oh man, my family's gonna be there. I've dreamt of this moment, to giving them the chance of seeing like what a major championship looks like, and just grateful to have this chance, and grateful to finally be able to play my first major championship at Augusta.
So you were able to play Augusta National, what, the last two Mondays, right? Talk
last
about
two how Mondays.
You played. What did you learn about the golf course?
Okay, so I started asking a lot of players, basically, guys, I'm planning to go practice. What do you recommend? And they're like, and they were all exactly the same answers, which was great. They're like, Rafa, go over there. Do not take any notes, first of all. You know, go and take the aura in, you know, like just – get the experience, you know, just go and play golf. So that for two Mondays ago, I went by myself, and the walking guest was my caddy. And that was a cool experience. You know, we were just by ourselves. It was cold. It was very windy. And the Augusta caddy told me, like, hey, man, you know, you came here in a tough day. Like, it's normally not this hard. So I'm like, oh, okay, that's good. The wind direction that day made the course long. And I'm like, man, but the course was just such great shape. I mean, it's so cool to walk every hole. There's a lot of holes that are so different than what I imagined, like on TV, after watching them so many years. I'm like, wait, I thought this hole was like this. And it was very different in person. And so two Mondays ago, that was a windy, cold day, and this past Monday was a rainy, cold day, no wind. So I at least, but that's good though. I kind of figured, I'm like, yeah, at least I'm playing these conditions where I I feel I'm playing the tougher conditions. You know, once I, if I get a good day, calm day, then it'll seem a lot easier. You know, that's my opinion, obviously.
How did you play? I mean, how'd you shoot? Did you shoot a
I shot, I did not shoot that well. I believe I shot three or four over
okay.
That first day. It was windy and cold, and the rainy day was even around even par. I believe even or one over or something like that. It's fine. You know, it's not like I really didn't mind what I shot. It was just so cool to be. I couldn't believe it. It keeps its mystique. It keeps its aura. Like when we were having breakfast in the morning, we were just looking outside. We're like, man, I can't believe, like, you feel that you have Bobby Jones still there. You feel that you have all these legends that have gone through there, like that are still present there. It's really cool. I mean, to be a golfer and be able to experience that, I completely understand why so many, I mean, why it truly is a privilege for people to be there and get to play once or you had a guest that invited you. And I mean, I truly understand like why it is so big.
And so special for sure. So talk about the strengths and weaknesses of your game, Rafael, and perhaps how those strengths and weaknesses, you know, will maybe apply to Augusta National.
Yeah. So I can start first of all with weaknesses, actually. One thing I've been really battling the last like few months has been the driver. And that used to be like one of my best assets. And I have not, if I look at my stats, this has been the worst, like the past year, the worst driving accuracy. So we did make a big change last week, which is primarily for Augusta. You know, I just needed to be able to control the ball a little bit better off the tee, because Augusta has, believe it or not, has very wide fairways. For the exception of hole number 7 and 17, they're very narrow. But apart from that, very wide fairways. So you do want to get a little bit of height, a little bit of more distance and all that. And for me, my driver was coming out low, so I wasn't really getting the carry. And over here at Augusta, there's a lot of slopes, and a lot of times you're hitting uphill. Yeah. So if you hit it low, it's not going to go anywhere. And so we're making a big change this week. This past week, we got more loft. We created more spin on the driver. So it's actually coming out shorter, but it's coming out a lot higher. And I prefer the higher part because I know it'll balance out once I get to the course. So that, as far as weaknesses goes, that's it. Putting has been a strength of mine, and I think it's very important over there.
Absolutely.
I did realize I was very, very grateful to have Ben Sorrell as a caddy those 2 days that I played. He's a local caddy there, and the reason why I think I played so poorly the first day and all that was because I could not understand the greens. You know, they're extremely deceiving. Like, everybody says like, oh, they're so undulating. No, I'm like, no, you know, there's some big undulations in some areas and all that, but no, it's like any other course. But when you're putting down grain and downhill, obviously they're very fast, you know, but the tough part is when you're putting into the grain or into the slope, it's actually very slow. So the ability to control the distance, like two drastic changes is I think one of the tougher parts there. And secondly, like I had a tough time just because it was really good that Mr. Sorrell told me everything runs towards a certain part of the golf course. Right. And I didn't believe it, but until I started putting. And let's say you think that you have a 10-foot putt and you think it just breaks, I don't know, a little cup left to right, but then you have the tendency going towards the right. That putt in particular won't break a cup. It would break almost 2 feet. You know, that's where the tough part is. You know, that tendency really does pull the balls like towards that area. And I think that was so important for me to go play twice at least. That second time I felt a lot more comfortable playing a lot more break, knowing that it was going to go towards a certain way. So I think that's why the first round, because I hit the ball very good that first time I played, I just three-putted like four times, and I just couldn't get myself to see the lines properly. And so my strength is putting right now, but I had a tough time those 2 days, you know. No, but that's good. I know I still have three extra practice rounds, you know, to go. Once I dial that in, I'll definitely feel a lot more comfortable. But
and you'll go out tomorrow and just show up, and whomever practices with you, I'm sure you can, you know, probably learn a lot if you get an experienced player who, you know, to practice with, for sure.
Correct. I'm going to be like having a close eye tomorrow. Yes, I'll head over there. I do want to, I think I really want to enjoy this week and the fact of like being there. I want to make sure that my practice will take longer, but it'll be lighter. I want to experience it. I want to spend as much time as possible inside the facility. So, yeah, I'm going to go play 9 holes tomorrow, 9 holes Tuesday, 9 holes Wednesday. And you are spot on. I would like to try to play with a veteran, somebody. So, and that's something that caddies also say is, hey, you know, get as much info as you want or need. You know, there's some areas over there, which is a really cool part about that course. Sometimes it's better to be off the green than on the green, you know, or miss it in a certain spot than actually hitting a decent shot on the green. I want to make sure I can find, I don't know who yet. I got to check the list. I got to keep an eye on who's going to be there at what time and all that. But yeah, I would like to play with a couple of veterans if possible, just to see how they go about their business also in that type of course. Like I said, it's the first major I play. I'm pretty sure things work a little bit differently, you know, practice rounds and all that, and how the guys go about their business. So I would like to at least have a heads up from somebody that's been there before.
Sure. And I know all of Puerto Rico will be cheering for you, and perhaps the great Chichi Rodriguez from your homeland will be looking down from the heavens.
Yes.
And will give you inspiration. Yes.
Very true. No, honestly, this is really cool. I know there's a lot of Puerto Ricans that are flying over there, and how have they gotten tickets? I have no idea, but I know there's a lot of guys. It's going to be really fun. I mean, I know that it's been 40 some years, I believe, since a Puerto Rican has played at Augusta, and it's pretty cool to know that the flag's going to be there. It's pretty cool to know that there's going to be more Puerto Ricans than ever.
This is Masters Week. You're going to be representing all of Puerto Rico and beyond. Wishing you all the best this Masters Week and always, Rafael. It's just such a pleasure to get to know you. And I'll be out there watching, and I'm sure you'll have a lot of fans from Puerto Rico just trying to be on.
They're going to all be sitting down over there, either in Puerto Rico or over there in Augusta. No, but thank you so much for the time, man. I mean, truly enjoyed it. I'm here for anything you guys need. This has been really fun.
I just love Rafael's honesty and his pure joy of being here this week and really discovering some of the nuances of Augusta National in his two previous rounds here. All right, well, coming up, another Masters rookie, Joe Highsmith, winner of the Cognizant Classic in early March. Joe went from making the cut on the number at the Cognizant when he shot 64s on the weekend, rallying from four shots down to win it. Another incredible story. We'll get to know Joe Highsmith when we come back.